Hi, welcome to Newscast episode 42.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the one. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me as always, we got Andy Gergen.
What's up?
Nathan Mustafa.
Hello.
And Zachary Miller.
Hello, everybody.
So let's cut to the chase and talk about the news that broke this morning. The 3DS North American launch lineup has been unveiled.
It sucks.
There's 16 games, 18 if you go by Nintendo's rules, which counts each Nintendog's version as a separate game. So there's 16 games, three of which are the Nintendo-published titles, Steel Diver, Pilot Wings Resorts, and Nintendogs Plus Cats, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. No.
I mean, it's cool that we're getting all three, but we've kind of beaten the idea of the games coming out around launch to death at this point.
The horse has died.
Yeah, let's move on a little bit to the next item on the agenda, which is the DS Memories feature that we're currently running.
Go to the site and read about the things, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
what site would that be?
That would be crosstalk.com. I mean, NintendoWorldReport.com.
Yeah, so yeah, we got coverage, we got previews of 3DS games, it's all up on the site, we have articles about this, and I guess one bit of news that came out of the press release with the lineup is that apparently Mario Kart 3DS is coming out this year, and there might be installments of Mario Kart 3DS.
What's that even mean?
Installments?
Yes, they said, and new installments in the Mario Kart series.
Oh, you mean two or more Mario Kart games?
Yes.
The Mario Kart Triple Dash.
Yeah.
The third dash is a third dimension.
Mario Kart plus cats.
There you go.
Mario Kart plus Zach.
Yep.
Yes. But yeah, so Mario Kart is apparently coming out in 2011, although it looks like Paper Mario isn't, at least as far as their offhand note in a press release.
What a shame.
Shut up,
Zach.
We'll
find out for certain at E3. Zach can go suck an egg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on to the DS Memories feature, which is a feature that's currently running. We're talking all about our first memories with the DS. So, when did you guys all first get a DS and first experience memories with it?
I got mine at launch.
I got mine at launch as well.
Yeah.
I got mine when Kirby's Canvas Curse came out. I bought it for Kirby's Canvas Curse, but I convinced my wife to let me get it based on Nintendogs.
Yeah, plus Zach.
That game did not last.
I didn't expect to get the DS when I did. Like, I walked into a store with a whole bunch of crap to sell back to a local gaming store, and they gave me a lot more trade credit than I expected. And I honestly did not know what to do with it all, so I looked at the DS launch lineup, because it was like maybe a month after launch, and like I couldn't find anything that looked good. So I looked at the list of GameCube games that I hadn't played yet, and I couldn't find anything that looked good there either. Like, I thought long and hard about it, and I ended up not even playing the thing for a good 2 to 3 months after I got it. I think I played. Wow. I think I bought some World Poker Tour game and played that a little bit.
But... Oh my god, I got that game too. I was dumb.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, wasn't it? I was like, a poker game, that should work pretty good on a touchscreen, right? And it did, yeah, I guess, but it was like really laggy and kind of crappy.
Can we have a feature about like the crappy close to launch DS games that we played?
Like the Metroid Prime Hunters demo?
Dude, I love Metroid Prime Hunters demo.
Oh, wow.
I love Metroid Prime Hunters.
That's all of Metroid Prime Hunters that I played because, well, actually, no, I played like a legitimate demo of the finished game and did not like it at all and was like, I'll just keep on playing First Hunt every now and then.
Yeah, it's really not a great game, is it?
What?
Nathan, didn't you have to like put a pencil in your mouth in order to play that game or something?
That was, yes. Yeah, so.
On the other hand, Neil,
how is that appealing?
With moving things with his tongue, his girlfriend really appreciates that now.
Hey-o.
There you go. There you go.
I feel dirty.
Thank you, Nintendo.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got my DS at launch. I got Super Mario 64 DS. and enjoyed the hell out of it.
Did you play it with the control pad, or did you play it with the touch
screen? I actually did try it with that weird-ass thumb pad that came with it.
The nubbin.
Oh, the little thumb strap, yeah.
The nub.
No. I actually used that when I played Rayman 2 on the DS. And then now it's coming out on 3DS again? What the hell?
Isn't that weird? Rayman 2, which came out on DS, is also coming out
on 3DS.
As a launch title for 3DS.
Yeah, they're like, oh, but now it's a Dreamcast version.
Wasn't that originally on the N64?
It came out on the N64, it came out on the PlayStation, the Dreamcast, and the PC.
Wasn't it a Saturn game originally?
Maybe.
I think it might have
been. I don't know what it originally launched on. I know when it first came out, I played it on the PC.
Rayman can trace his origins back to Plock.
Hmm. Dude, Plock is an awesome game.
Plock fucking rocks.
Yeah.
Technically, it plocks.
Speaking of old games, we had a good Virtual Console release. One of Andy's, I guess, personal favorite original Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Fazanadu.
Oh, Fazanadu. I cannot not call it Faxanadu.
That's
all right.
When I was younger, I call it Faxanadu.
Faxanadu. That's one I hadn't heard before, but...
I say Faxanadu.
Just as inaccurate as Faxanadu, which is what I always called it. Yeah. This is one of those games that my parents got for me for Christmas some year that I had never heard of before, and it's probably too young to have ever heard of it anyway. And I don't even know how they picked it out, but I think maybe they picked it out because it looked kind of like Zelda. Like, the box art looked kind of like Zelda box art.
Yeah, it did. I think that's why I bought it.
The crest shape.
My NES playing time, I mean, like, I played it, like, over people's houses, but I got, like, my cousin gave me his NES in like the mid-90s, and then I would go to Funko Lands and just raid them. And I remember getting Fazanadu, and basically I was like, that kind of looks like Zelda. And it was like $3, so I bought it.
I've heard the game described as a spiritual successor to Zelda 2, which actually is not entirely inaccurate. It feels a lot like...
Is it at least playable?
Oh, don't get me started, Zach. I will talk for hours until you just give up. It doesn't have, like, an overworld map. It's all side-scrolling. But, like, yeah, it's got the RPG element with, like, the leveling up, and it's got the different spells you can learn.
It has golds.
It has golds. Things cost certain amounts of golds. If you try to buy something you don't have enough golds for, oh, believe me, you, it'll say not enough golds. I picked it up on Virtual Console day of release and played it for about 2 hours, and I put another hour in today. It's hard, but not as hard as I remember. I remember thinking that the game felt more epic when I was a kid, I guess, because it took me longer to get from point A to point B. You know, and I've beaten this game like 4 or 5 times in my life, so part of it is just because I know what I'm doing. But like there's a point early in the game where you can like get some fairly powerful magic, by just literally making the choice to grind for money for an hour if you want to. So you can actually kind of break the game if you want. Like, the game gives you the opportunity to break it fairly early on.
I bought it on your request, and you just referenced magic. How do you use magic? Like, I went, and some guy's like, do you have 200 golds? I will give you magic. And I was like, okay, here's my golds. And then nothing.
Like, did you just get scammed?
I think I did. And then I took,
He was an Arabian prince.
You left him negative feedback, right?
Huh?
You left him negative feedback, right?
Yeah, definitely. Would not use this cellar again. And then I got martial arts lessons from someone, and it just, like, healed part of my HP.
Yeah, that's, poor translation.
What is that?
It's not even that funny, but I can't stop laughing. The $200 you paid for, 200 golds you paid, was basically...
Was that to restore my magic?
Yes, to refill your magic meter, which is actually kind of a thing that is not... There's no item that does that, so your magic meter is kind of a rare commodity.
That's crazy.
You buy magic spells like they're weapons, and you equip them like they're weapons, and then you use them like...
And when you die, you lose all your gold.
you lose all your gold, but as you level up, you will get X number of gold depending on your level as like a starting as you start over. Okay. So like right now, I'm like about 2/3 of the way up through the level tree, the level list, and I get like 6,400 gold whenever I die, just as like a base. Yeah.
I really like this game so far. I've only played about an hour. It just has a charm to it. I've heard people complain about the graphics in it, but it's actually pretty detailed.
I think
you go into a shop, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, you know. The translation's probably the worst part, I think.
It's kind of bad. It's not as bad as,
I really want you to see the king.
But... Yeah.
Like, what the hell? But, I'm going to keep playing it.
There's a
level of jank with it, though.
It's about a 5 to 6 hour game, I think, overall.
Oh, really?
It's not that long. I'm probably, having played about 4 hours of it, maybe not even that long, maybe like 3 hours of it, I'm over the halfway point already, I think. Once again, I know what I'm doing, so that kind of helps. But you equip magic like it's a weapon. You buy it like a weapon. The first magic spell you can buy is called Deluge or whatever. And it costs, I forget how much it costs, but basically you equip it and then hit up and B or up and one, I guess, whatever the B button would have been on the NES controller,
big, like whatever.
Yeah.
That thing is mentally, it is an NES controller in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you correcting yourself? It's up and B.
Use it the same way you use like a Castlevania sub-weapon.
Okay.
But like I said, there's no replenishing of your magic meter except for in a town at a doctor, or if you buy like if you buy like smoked fish or something at the store, it gives you a little bit back.
Good old fish.
One suggestion to you is if you are in a town and they're offering to sell you a key to a door you haven't found yet, just buy the key first.
Yeah, I bought it because I noticed that I went up to a door and it's like, the door says Jack on it. I'm like, Jack, huh? So I went into town and the guy's like, I'll sell you the J key. I'm like, this probably goes to the Jack door. And sure enough.
The keys aren't reusable. They're one-time use keys. You'll find plenty more jack keys and J doors or whatever, jack doors and J keys.
What's with that?
And then a little bit later on, you'll find a door marked Joker, but you can't buy the Joker key. You have to go find it. So you have that to look forward to. I think the biggest complaint with the game, looking back on playing it sort of with a modern perspective, is that the character feels a little bit like a tank in terms of his momentum. Like, or maybe like Sonic even, like, cause he walks really slow at first, and then as you walk, you get like, kind of a weird sense of speed to the character as he like gets a little bit of momentum. Like, it actually makes it kind of hard to clear gaps. That's my biggest problem with the game is that like, it's way harder than it needs to be to like just jump over a pit. I've spent more time in that game just like trying pits over again, cause I fell down to the screen below and I had to climb back up or something. That gets a little old after a while, but I think overall it's a game that not a lot of people have heard of, I don't think, but it's really good. It's got good music, if not maybe a little repetitive.
I like the music so far. Yeah,
it's one of those rare games that actually lets you like see the difference in the gear that you're equipping to your player. So like when you get armor, you actually see the armor on your player as you equip it, which is kind of a nice touch.
Yeah, that's nice.
The weapon you get to start the game with is a dagger, and it's really painfully weak. But you do get like a sword before too long, and some of the weapons you get later, you get like a three-pronged sword later, and it's like makes you feel like a total badass when you get it. So it's a lot of fun. I think it's, you know, it has a few of the flaws of the era, but I think overall it's one of the better games of that type. I would suggest it to anybody who's looking for sort of a good 8-bit side scroller with some RPG elements.
Yeah, I got that alongside, also at your recommendation, Castlevania 2.
Oh boy.
And that game, holy shit. I started playing it, and I'm like, I need a notepad.
Yes.
They're like, remember, 12 is the secret. What are you talking about? 12. Okay. And then, remember, the ferryman at blah, blah, blahville likes garlic. Okay. Garlic. And they're like, you should go here. Oh, my God. Let me go. It's just, I'm running around talking to all these people that look exactly the same. Just, whew.
It's ridiculous. That game is, I mean, I loved it.
It's a game of a different time.
I really loved that game when I was a kid, but like, I learned all of the, like, the paths and the secrets and stuff. And I just had it committed to, I'm pretty sure I got it from a player's guide or something, or maybe from a friend who had already learned it, but like, I didn't have to put up with any of the translation issues when I was a kid because I didn't pay any attention to it. I just knew where to go. Like, it was just common knowledge amongst me. Like, yeah. So, I mean, I played that. I was able to beat the entire game in, like, 45 minutes because I knew exactly how to do it. And I did, like, probably about a dozen times in my life. I beat that game in, like, a sitting.
I kind of went crazy on Virtual Console. I got that. I got Zelda 2. I got Vexanadu and Zelda 1.
Have you played Zelda 2 before?
Bunch of games that give you no help whatsoever, just stacked up to play.
I still remember the one time I sat down and was like, I'm going to beat Zelda 1, and it took me fucking forever, because I just like I was trying to be stubborn, and I was like, I'm not going to use a guide, I'm just going to wander around, and then like after a couple dungeons, I'm like, I don't know where the fuck to go next.
I played it on my dad's computer on an emulator a long time ago. And, like, I had never played it before, and I just somehow walked straight to the Master Sword. And I was like, what is this?
Now, Zach, if I'm not mistaken, this is where you and me differ, because we played that game when it was new. Because you and I are about the same age, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can play through Zelda 1 in two, three hours, maybe.
I can play through it without too much trouble myself.
Oh, yeah. Now I can. But, I mean, like, the first time I sat through and played it.
How old were you when you played it for the first time?
Gotcha.
I guess, like, 8.
Okay.
No, not even.
I think
it was probably
okay,
like 90, 94, 95.
Yeah, I think I was like six when I played it. On my dad's computer.
You guys need to stop talking, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, like, I guess, yeah, it's just weird because like you guys played Zelda for the first time as sort of a project and retro, whereas I played it for the first time because it was a new video game.
I wouldn't like really like my experience with the original Nintendo wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm playing the N64 and I'll go back. Like, it was very much like, I had a Sega Genesis, so I guess it may have been a little retro, but it was like the Sega Genesis and the NES existed at the same time for me.
Okay. Mm. Fair enough. Have you played Zelda 2 before, Nathan?
I've played
it
in limited.
If this is your first time playing it or not.
It'll be my first time playing it in earnest. Like, I did play a bunch of NES games way back when on my dad's computer for like 5 minutes each before he's like, oh, this thing might have viruses, and got rid of it. So I played up until, I distinctly remember needing a candle.
That's very, very, very early on.
I'm sure, I know it was very early in the game. Like, there was a cave, and it's like candles.
Was it a red candle or a blue candle?
Dude, I was so little.
I don't think Zelda 2 has more than one candle, Zach.
I really like Zelda 2 is one of those games that like I was never a giant fan of, but I don't really despise it. It's just weird.
Oh, I'm thinking of Zelda 1, Andy.
Yeah, there's only one candle in Zelda 2.
Yeah.
I am a proponent of Zelda 2. I will argue that game is better than the dessert. Like, it's one of those things where like I always say the game gets a harsh reputation because it's Zelda and that's not what people wanted for a Zelda game. And everyone else who hates the game seems to argue that it's only liked at all because it's a Zelda game, and if it wasn't a Zelda game, everyone would hate it as much as they do. So, I don't know.
I don't think it would really get much. I think it would be like Fasanadu if it wasn't a Zelda game.
Well, it already has a different structure.
But there hasn't been a lot of games like Zelda 2 since then.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
I mean, Fasanadu is kind of like it.
Yeah. I would love to play another game. Like,
that's really like those are like I can't think of many other games that are like Fasanadu and Zelda 2.
There's not a lot. I mean, side scroll. Well, I guess really the new version of that is Order of Ecclesia, or the other castle,
or maybe even like Muramasa to an extent.
But those games had a fair amount of exploration in them. Like even within the dungeons in Zelda 2, there was a lot of exploration going on. I haven't played Muramasa, but I get the impression it's mostly like pretty linear level design.
Yeah, you just run around.
Like, there's not... I think really the closest thing that comes to it is the Metroidvania Castlevania games. Like, that seems to be the spiritual successor, so to speak, of
I mean,
of
if you think
games.
About it, probably, like, that Metroidvania style, like, probably came as a marriage between Zelda 2 and Metroid 1.
Yeah, probably. Very much.
Yeah.
Good times. I love those games.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, for Xanadu is a game that I honestly don't remember that much about it. I remember enjoying it, but I don't really remember that much. I played it when I was pretty young. It was one of the early NES games I played.
I
might pick it up.
I'll be writing up a virtual console recommendations for that fairly shortly, and maybe an Extra Life as well. So you'll see me talking about it on the site, because that's where I write things for. I write things for the site, that website.
NintendoWorldReport.com.
Hell yeah.
Up on NintendoWorldReport.com right now is my review of Diablo 2, which came out the day that we are recording, which is February 22nd. The first one came out exclusively on Wii, and the second title is coming out for everything. And it's even in 3D on PS3, if you have components to play it in 3D.
So many people do.
But... not many.
Nope.
But the Blob 2 is a really good game. I think it's a fantastic sequel. If you like the Blob 1, you will most certainly like the Blob 2. It's basically like a lot. It's very similar to the first game, almost to a fault, but it improves on it in a lot of different ways. The jumping
button
is no longer mapped to emotion. Although in my opinion, the jumping's still a little. It's more the jump mechanics that suck.
Physics?
As opposed to. Well, it's like how you stick to walls, and it's like whenever you need to do any like precise platforming, it's just difficult to do.
Gotcha.
Because of the way you control the character. However, those are solved in the side-scrolling sections, which are, it's the underground. Like, you go inside buildings or literally go underground. And there are these side-scrolling sections that start off, and for the majority of the game, are rather simple. But as you get near the end, they get, like, pretty tricky, and they're really fun. And... I mean, it's just a really rewarding style of gameplay because it's like Katamari where you're just going around and instead of collecting things, you're painting things and the music is awesome and it gets bigger as you color everything and you want to color everything and it's really an OCD game because then like there's all these things to collect. You want to paint everything. You want to get those trees. You want to collect the light bulbs so that way you can inspire your blob to do better things and it's really
right
cool.
Now you sound like a crazy person, Neil. Just to...
That was kind of what I was going for.
So for somebody who is lukewarm on the first game, would you recommend picking up the second one?
Yeah. I mean, what did you not like about the first one?
It felt a little too, this takes too long to clear a level.
Well,
I hated the jumping. Honestly, the jumping friggin' blew.
I would say... If you ever wanted to play more of that, remember that in this game there are checkpoints.
Oh.
And you can, the levels are still absurdly long, but they're pretty clearly marked like breaks. And you can just quit out and then go back to the level there. And I actually started doing that as I got later in the game because I was getting fatigued by the levels are still like 40 minutes to an hour long.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's if, like, I definitely go a little crazy with collecting. I assume if you were to burn through a level, you could do it pretty quickly.
But I'd be collecting everything in sight.
Yeah. But you could basically just, like, kind of break the levels into smaller levels by, you know, playing a checkpoint or two, stopping, coming back to it later.
That's cool.
And I did that for the later levels, and I got less fatigued by playing because I'd only be playing, 20 minutes, half an hour at a clip, and then come back and then play the level again.
Okay, I might try it.
Does it look
better than the first one? I mean, the first one didn't look bad, but, you know.
It's definitely improved. I mean, it's a multi-platform game, so, you know, you're getting a little bit of the short end of the stick on Wii. But it still looks pretty good. It runs fine. It's got, you know, a humorous story because you have, you know, the Inked Corporation. They're coming back, but as a religion, as a cult. And then, you know.
Unitology.
They rigged the elections so that way, you know, Comrade Black is back. It's really funny, and it has a lot of... There's even, like, a scene where, like, tanks are coming at you, like Tiananmen Square, Or at least there's like a little blob with his hand out and tanks are coming at him.
Do you have to lay down?
No. Well, it's not you. It's like another little blob.
Does he lay down?
You need to say. No.
Oh, missed opportunity.
But it's really fun.
Tragedy
actually,
is funny.
I actually never played the first game, but I'll be getting it from Mr. Zachary Miller in the mail in a few days.
I mean, definitely, if you enjoyed the first game, don't hesitate. If you didn't like the first game, I mean, the second one doesn't change too much. It depends on what your criticisms are.
Excellent.
Well, I like the music in the first game.
Yeah, no, the music is by the same guy. It's wonderful. It's simply delightful.
There you have it.
Well,
the next game we're going to talk about is another game that came out today, Radiant Historia.
Ooh.
Both Nathan and I picked it up today. I'm like an hour and change into it. I think, Nathan, you're a little bit behind me.
Definitely. I was playing earlier when we were doing something on Skype, and I only really got through the opening story bit.
Yeah, which we saw a couple weeks ago at a preview.
Right, so pretty much I've seen nothing new. I did get a chance to listen to the included 5-track soundtrack. Kind of shitty.
What is this, an Atlas game?
Yeah. Yep. you nailed it.
Tell. Wait, it comes with a throwaway soundtrack. Oh, it must be Atlas.
Yeah, I listened to it. I was like, that was dumb. I even, you know, like the Strange Journey soundtrack, I went out of my way to have them mail me the proper soundtrack. And it was a waste. A waste of disc, a waste of the postal worker's breath. I don't know. It's just...
A waste of something.
I don't appreciate the soundtrack, but, the in-game soundtrack seems better. I don't know. It's cool so far. The story, again, seems like it's really what's going to hook me with the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty interesting because there's a lot of mystery and intrigue.
Yeah.
The basic thing is that, like, you play this guy, like, he works for, like, the military. There's two warring nations called Stock, and he's given this book, The White Chronicle, that he finds is kind of, like, the key to history as far as, like, controlling.
Yeah.
Or, like, at least, like he can go down different timelines and alternate timelines and find the right history.
Yeah.
And he interacts with, like, these mysterious, like, I guess, like, they, like, watch over the land.
They seem sort of like Norse gods to me.
Yeah.
Especially since they reset the timeline in sort of, like, a Ragnarok kind of deal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Norse mythology meets Waterworld to me.
in that the land
is slowly disappearing under a desert, so people are fighting
desert.
For
desert. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, for what little land
desertification
is left remaining? Yeah, desertification.
But like, there's a lot of like, you know, you can't really tell who to trust at this point, including these two characters that like kind of rule over everything.
Right.
And then like,
right.
It's. I mean, it's definitely it's interesting.
Can
I
just
really
say that
play
the
more
character art for those two things is just horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
They look like...
Are there sandworms?
No, not that I know of.
Well, fuck it.
Maybe.
Maybe they've already put thumpers everywhere. Oh, no, thumpers attract the worms. Never mind.
Yeah. Get
no,
it right.
No sandworms. Sorry. It's been a while since I've read Dune.
Me too. That's one of the only things I remember about it.
I love...
Big, awesome worms.
Spice controls.
It's like Tremors, but the book.
Did you ever watch the Dune movie?
No, but people have told me it's good, but other people have told me it's awful.
Zach, watch it. It's like the Neverending Story meets Star Wars.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh.
It's one of the weirdest things you'll ever see.
Neverending Story got really fucking creepy towards the end for
it
a kid.
It did.
Yeah, so I'll watch that. It's probably on Netflix Instant by now.
It actually is on Netflix Instant, so that's
nice. I'm watching
that's
that
where
tonight.
I watched it. So go ahead and grab it.
But yeah, Radiant Historia is a pretty cool game. I mean, the battle system, both Nathan and I were talking about it, that it seems pretty cool. The whole thing is that, like, there's a turn order, and there's, like, the enemies are on a 3x3 grid, and you can maneuver them around that to maximize your attack potential.
You can manipulate your spot in the turn order, and you can manipulate where the enemies physically are.
If that continues to evolve, it seems pretty cool. It'll be really cool. But I just don't know if it'll continue to evolve.
At the outset, yeah, it seems kind of limited. And the fact that you're stuck on a 3x3 grid, I'm hoping they at least give you... Because I don't think there's the ability to sort of fine-tune, at least at the start. You can only knock people all the way back. So...
Well, no, you do, like, I mean, then you have the knock to the left, you can bring them forward.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean, but can you just bring them forward one square?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think... You kind of want to optimize where you put people, so that's going to be tricky. It kind of reminds me of a Capybara game.
Like Tactics Advance or something?
No, no, no. It reminds me a little more of the, what was that? Might and Magic Clash of Heroes?
I never played it.
That sounds correct.
It reminds me a little bit of that, in that you're sort of optimizing, or you know, playing off of where the enemies are physically along their row. As you're attacking them. It's pretty cool. So far.
Yay.
Yay. This episode is filled with awkward silences that I'll just have to edit out.
Edit that shit out.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm really digging Radiant Historia. I can't wait to play more. I know James Jones is on the review. He got it, I think, like Saturday.
Oh, God. So we might...
Hopefully we'll see a review by the end of the week. Sometime around then.
James has already beaten it, probably.
I think he's something like 13 hours in.
Oh, my God.
So,
how?
Yeah, I was impressed, too.
How? I don't understand.
It was a weekend. It may have been a long weekend, too, because of Prezi's Day.
Oh, it was.
I got a long weekend. That was nice. I needed that shit.
I did, too. I did, too.
Not I.
But, yeah, so, Zach, you've been playing... You don't know Jack for DS. How is that? I know you just submitted your review.
You don't know Jack.
Do you know Jack? Oh, I like that. have you guys ever played a You Don't Know Jack game?
Oh, yeah.
No. I always saw them on the shelves, and I was like, this looks
stupid. Oh, yeah, me too. No, it's really fun. I played all of them up through You Don't Know Jack the Ride, which I think is the best one. And they're basically just, for those who don't know, they're trivia games that are just text-based, really. And the whole charm of the game comes from the personality and the delivery of the hosts.
Well, they're presented as talk shows, which is kind of, or like game shows, I mean.
Yeah, they're game shows. They're like Jeopardy.
Yeah.
But, you know, but with a sarcastic and humorous host. And the questions are usually, analogies, like, in the review I wrote up and put up for editing, a question might be, the Duke boys are getting chased by the cop, whatever his name is, Coltrane, in the General Lee. If they want to make sure they get away from Coltrane by jumping over the widest canyon in the United States, what canyon would they jump over? And then, you know, one of the four answers is right and the other one's wrong, and you win money or lose money.
So I guess my big question is that, like, a lot of the appeal of the older games was the voice acting. Does the DS cartridge have the voice acting?
It does, and it's that cookie guy.
Awesome.
It's him as usual, and the sound on the DS, just by turning it up, is a little tinny.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Yeah, but if you play it with headphones, it's awesome. You don't notice the difference at all.
That's fantastic. Like, That's like how I fear the DS version might get ruined. But if they actually did manage to get all the voice on there, then that's fantastic. How much content is in the game?
There are 37 distinct episodes. That's kind of disappointing to me because, you know, every other You Don't Know Jack game pulled questions randomly. So if you play through the whole game, you'll know all the answers. And if you play it with two players, you know, somebody who's already played that episode will already know all the answers to the questions.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of a shame. But with 37 episodes, I mean, it's not like you're short on content.
Right.
The games do tend to be pretty short. They're only 11 questions each, including the Jack Attack. So you get through one in maybe 15 minutes, if that. So they're really short. And also, with it's two-player co-op. There's no online, but you both have to sit in front of the DS screen and, you know, have the volume up or share a pair of headphones. That's kind of awkward.
Sure.
And each player uses a different side of the DS for answering questions. It could be a lot worse. I like it a lot.
Oh, is that kind of like a Nintendojo?
I guess so.
Yeah, okay.
Except the face buttons and the control pad select, you know, which of the four answers.
Right, right.
You pick, yeah. So when I got the game, I wasn't expecting much because I thought, like Andy said, I was worried about the voice acting and I was worried about how well the game would hold up because I haven't played it for years.
Right.
But it holds up very well, and it's a great game, and if you have another person who likes, you don't know Jack, I mean, it's great for on the road.
Zach, you bought this game?
That's pretty cool.
No, review copy.
Okay, never mind. I was going to say, just out of curiosity, why didn't you buy the Xbox version? Exactly.
We tried to get the Wii copy, but they didn't have it available for review.
You're going
to
have download packs on the Xbox and, I guess, PS3.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome.
Is that true? Are there going to be downloadable episodes for the consoles?
Yeah, there are, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're selling them for 10 episodes for, like, $5 each, I think.
Well, that's not bad.
I definitely will look into this game. I just don't know if I might wait for a price drop or something, mainly because I'm not exactly swimming in cash.
Well, I still have The Ride on PC, and I still play it from time to time. I think it's the best Jack game, but, I mean, honestly, this DS game is more like the first two You Don't Know Jack Volumes 1 and 2, in that they're very simplistic. But I think, you know, all the charm from the game comes from the writing and the delivery of the hosts.
Yeah.
It always has, and it holds up really well here.
That's awesome. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, if you have, like, a plane ride or something, Andy, this is a really good way to spend it.
I think actually the host that I was most familiar with was the one before Cookie. I think Cookie was on the earlier games, but I don't think he was the main announcer. He was like the green room announcer or something.
Yeah, he was. They moved him on up for like I think starting in 2. But yeah, like number 1 in the spin-off games like sports and movies, they were some other guy.
Yeah, they were. I think I had You Don't Know Jack Volume 2 and the sports one on PC. And I remember being very disappointed that the sports one wasn't the same guy. And he wasn't nearly as good at it either.
No, I remember that too.
So
he was more of a not exaggerated delivery.
I am very seriously considering picking this up on...
He wasn't playing a character.
No, he wasn't. I'm looking forward to getting this on maybe PS3 or 360 and playing it with the wife. I think she'd enjoy it.
You know what's worrying about that? I heard on the Player One podcast that in the episodes, you know, it's not just episodes online on the PC and 360 games, but it also the question, the answers don't ever change position. So if you're playing with somebody who's played that episode, they can just knock it out right away.
Sure.
That's lame.
But you know what? That's just another reason I never play with random people on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do for shooters and stuff, but for more like intimate games, I just...
Yep.
I don't have any problem with the idea of episodes with the same content, but they should have also allowed you to play like a random episode or something. That would have been a nice feature. Because, yeah, I mean, one of the benefits of the structured episodes is you can know for sure that you're not going to repeat content. And the drawback is that once you've gone through all the content, there's no way to easily spread it back out. But
right. I wish each show had a random assortment of questions from those 37 shows.
Sure.
I don't know. But, no, it's still fantastic for what it is. And there are still commercials during the credits that are hilarious.
Excellent. Can you still screw players? That was always
fun.
Hell
yeah.
That was always
fun. You can. Yeah, it's really great.
Cool.
So, yeah, all the normal Jack features are in there. But Nate brought up a good transition point.
I did?
Yeah, you did. You asked me if I was getting it on the 360.
Oh yeah.
This segues nicely into your purchase of a Wii Tower.
A Wii Tower. Exactly. Well, my brother sold me his 360. I have an Elite unit now. And it's 120
That's
gigs.
Pretty elite.
Hooray.
And I'm just waiting for it to red ring, as I'm sure everyone who owns an Xbox is.
Yeah.
Only the earlier models. If you have a newer one, you'll be fine.
He bought this when he was in college, like 2 years ago or something.
That's when I got mine.
You're more fine than most.
Okay, that's good.
Well, I will say that I have gotten a Slim recently, and I am very... I feel relieved.
Mm. I'm just waiting for this one to die. So, you know what? The strange thing is, if my Xbox died tomorrow, I don't know if I'd go out and buy another one.
Oh, really?
You must not have a shit ton of Rock Band content like I do.
Oh my god!
No, I don't. I don't. Everything
Dude,
I have,
Andy, you have no idea.
Everything I have, I've played, and I don't know what else is coming out on the Xbox that I'm going to want.
Yeah.
I kind of have to agree with you. There's not many. There's a pretty shitty lineup of 360 exclusives on the horizon.
Like the only
there's
thing,
so
I'm...
many good PS3 ones, but like,
yeah, like everything that's coming out, I can also play on my PC, like or my PS3, like you know, like Mass Effect or Skyrim or something like that. Just play that.
Well,
on
Mass
my,
Effect, both of those will be coming out for PS3 anyway.
Pretty much all the games, most of the games I'm looking forward to buying this year, I'm looking forward to buying on PS3. Colossus and Eco Collection. Last Guardian and Uncharted 3 are my three big hitters this year, and I guess Zelda
isn't that
too.
Coming out in March, the Colossus and Eco Collection.
Yeah, the very end of March.
It?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's
start.
That's
saving
exciting.
Those pennies.
That's, I can't wait for that.
That is a set release date, or
well, Amazon has it as March 31st, so I'm going with them.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I wait for that game with bated breath.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't even like Eco that much, but Shadow's amazing.
I'm the other way around. I'm not really because I love Eco or I love Shadow too. But Eco was one of my landmark. Is that the right word? One of my absolute favorite moments in gaming was playing through that thing. So I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that again. Like that. In fact, that was actually about 10 years ago too. This summer it'll be 10 years since I got my PS3 or PS2. And when I got my PS2,
wow, you got a PS3 10 years ago?
Yeah. I got a PS2 in the summer of 2001, and I got Eco the first in that fall, and I got my NCAA football game right away when I got my PS2. So it's this you could say that like after kind of being away from gaming for a bit, 10 years ago was this year is when I kind of got back into it.
Wow,
good times.
There you go.
Good times.
Well, the whole reason I bought an Xbox is so I could download the amazing exclusive downloadable games like Geometry Wars 2 and Limbo.
Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy, there you go. That was
Wait. How did that not come out when we were talking about XBLA games with you the other time?
Crap.
That's
how
a good question.
Not?
That's like, honestly, like I think I've played more of that. I think Picross 3D and Dragon Quest 9 are the only games I've played more of in the past year.
No, I'm friggin' psyched about
Yeah, you should get Meat Boy immediately.
Oh, you should also get
Maybe
N+.
Maybe I'll get that before Geometry Wars.
N+ is excellent.
What is that?
I enjoyed the demo of that.
Yeah,
but
if you like Meat Boy, I mean, I can't
like
see how you wouldn't like N+.
See, my thing is that I played Super Meat Boy for probably 15, 20 hours. I don't know if really have any interest in playing a game like Meat Boy for a while.
I played N+ for at least that much time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and maybe in a couple months when the pain from all that Meat Boy and repeated death goes away.
Yeah. Zach,
oh, you guys will... Nathan, Zach, you'll be happy to know that my Xbox came with Mass Effect 2.
Very good.
It Zach, if you buy if you buy Doom or Doom 2 on Xbox Live Arcade, I'll play it with you co-op.
Oh, you can do that? Sweet.
Yes, you
I'll
can.
Buy Doom. Doom is amazing. Doom holds up.
Doom holds up indeed. I love that game.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if holds up is the right term.
You
still
can play
fun,
online
yes.
co-op in the original Doom?
Yeah. Or
that actually
yes.
sounds pretty damn awesome.
Or Deathmatch.
Yeah, it does.
They have Doom and they have Doom players? And Doom 2, and it maintains all the functionality of the original, but over Xbox Live.
Dude, I had so much fun with Doom as a kid.
Yep.
Dude,
that
Doom
was also
was
the kind of that was the kind of game that I would always like because my brother's a couple years older than me, and we had it. And I would always try to hide it from my parents, and then I found out that they didn't care.
I will say that
I've never played Doom.
Extra life.
What?
Extra Life.
Holy
well,
shit.
Wrong.
Extra Life on Doom for the Super Nintendo.
There you go. There you go.
The funny thing is that Lauren has Doom for Super Nintendo and, like, played the crap out of it as a kid.
Did you guys ever play Doom 64? That wasn't too bad either.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, No, it was Doom 64, I think.
That was a pretty good version of Doom, yeah.
But she played, like, it was just one of those things where, like she found it. It was, like, found it at, like, some kind of store for dirt cheap, and she didn't really get that many N64 games, and she happened to get that. And I remember looking at her N64 collection when, like, we first started hanging out, and I was just like, you have Doom 64? What the hell? She's like, I tried to beat that. And, like, she was, like, on the last level for a while and couldn't beat it.
Nice.
The thing I remember about that game is, like, at the time, it looked amazing.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Even though
sprite-based enemies,
yeah,
it still looked incredible.
I will warn you that the net code for Doom on Xbox isn't, like, ideal. It's kind of, it's not awesome. I'm hoping that if we do, like, a two-player game, then it'll, like, be better than, like, the four-player death matches that I've tried.
I have no idea what a netcode is.
The ability for the game to run smoothly online.
It's the thing that pushes the game through the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the quality,
like,
of the tube.
Little men pushing out the dookie?
It's the quality of the tube.
Okay.
So how's this Wii Tower, Zach?
Yeah, so...
That's really what we've all wanted to hear about.
Yeah.
This whole
so I bought this Xbox, and it's just sitting on my floor collecting dust like a sucker. I decided that since my Wii's kind of on the fritz, I really need to send it in. I don't really want to risk playing it right now. My wife and I were wandering around Bed Bath & Beyond, not willingly for me, but we across the clearance aisle, and they had this Wii Trideca gaming tower from Level
Up. I might have the same one.
It's got, like, 20 shelves for your games. It's got a place for your guitar.
Yeah, there's places for controllers. Is the bottom of it kind of, like, open, and then there's, like, kind of, like, three?
It's three, like, pillars in a triangular shape.
Yeah, I think I might have the same exact one.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I got it as a review copy.
Sweet.
I set it up recently, and I should be putting some kind of video. We should both do a photo blog and then compare and see if it is indeed the exact same one, because I think it is.
I'll bet it is. But I really like it. The only thing I didn't like about it is that my gaming center has walled off back. So every time when I put the Xbox in, I had to shove it away from the wall and wade through all my cords and hook it up. So when I got this Wii Gaming Tower, I had to shove it away from the wall, unplug the Xbox, unplug all the Wii cables, get that into the... Because now it sits next to my gaming shelves, and the Xbox sits next to the TV, which is where the Wii used to sit.
Huh.
But it's a really nice setup. I should really take a picture of it.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I have well more than 20 games, but I just put my 20 favorite games on the
tower. Like,
I
have, like, what I'm playing now or what I intend to play.
You know, I moved my Wii from the TV to my desk. So now it sits and it's plugged into my computer monitor.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Fun?
Yeah, because I have the VGA output for it, so I just plugged it straight into that. Only problem is, you know, motion control games I have to scoot back and play, but I'm just playing virtual console games. So
there you go.
That's not that bad. It's like you're playing them on an emulator.
Almost.
It's, Nintendo seems to think the Wii Remote now is a NES controller, so...
Exactly.
You're not really missing out.
For. Yeah, so I can sit here play Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Wii. So I just leave
Donkey
that
Kong, that's kind of fallen off my radar. I need to get back to that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it. I think I'm on World 4 or 5, and I was enjoying it. It's just that I think, like, something came... That happens with me a lot, where I'll, like, get pretty far into a game, and then real life will get in the way for a week, and I just won't get back to it for a very long time.
I think I'm halfway through World 3, but for some reason, it's just not enthusiastic about the game. It's good. I recognize it as well made, but it's just like I'm rarely in the mood for it.
Rare.
I
get what you mean.
Put so much time into that game when I was reviewing it, but and I
know,
loved it.
I know, and I feel like were really enthusiastic about it.
I was, but ever since I finished, I haven't really had the urge to go back to it either. I meant to go back and play through and get more of the unlockables, and it just never really.
It's one of those games where it's just like I admire the creativity of it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just like whenever I play a level, I'll just like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, wow, that's really neat. That was really clever level design.
Yeah, there was a good one where the surf is coming up and you have to hide behind blocks or
yeah, no, that was really
rocks,
cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, what I did do recently was I played through like the first two worlds with a friend of mine because he hadn't played it yet, and co-op's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I played it with my brother.
I mean, it would get like where we would kind of grief each other, but that's also what we do in every game.
Yeah.
We legitimately cannot play the Scott Pilgrim game together because we just beat the shit out of each other.
So yeah. You can hurt each like, other in that game?
Yeah. Like, I tried. Like, I was like, dude, this is going to be so much fun because, you know, we used to, you know, play, like, you know, Turtles in Time and stuff when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Got the Scott Pilgrim game, and it just wound up like we couldn't get through the first level because we would just beat the shit out of each other.
Neil, did you ever play the Manhattan Project on the NES?
No, I always wanted to.
That's
but
the best one.
That was going back to, I think we talked about, it may have been pre-show or earlier in the show, about my NES habits of
right.
when I would just go to Funko Land and get a bunch of, you know, cheap old games. Manhattan Project would always be like $20.
Oh my gosh.
And this was at a time when like, you know, you could get like Zelda for like $3 and like you know, all these cheap games. So I would be like, I really want to get this, but I could get like six other games or I could get this one for $20.
What's great about that, the game is that the cartridge has a Triceraton on the cover. And there are no Triceratons in the game.
What's a Manhattan Project?
The art
Project
on the
about?
Cover of that game is
it's,
fucking amazing.
It's the third Turtles NES game.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not just like running around beating up people as Oppenheimer or something.
No,
right?
You are.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, you are?
It's a brawler.
But you're Oppenheimer?
No, you're the Turtles.
Oh, I see. Oh, look at you. Wow.
Eh.
But like, how has that evolved past like the arcade game on NES?
I mean, no, it's the exact same game. You have special attacks that eat up some of your life meter like X-Men, and there's a more diversity in terms of levels, but it's otherwise, you know, pretty much the same. The graphics look much better.
That's one of those games that I wish would come to Virtual Console, but I don't really hold much hope. Like,
I really love the old arcade game.
What was the biggest insult in the world? Turtles in Time reshelled.
I had fun with that. It was okay. I played it with three other people, though.
My thing is that my memory is live with the Super Nintendo game, not with the arcade game.
No,
so
yeah, the Super Nintendo or the arcade game and Super Nintendo game both look worlds better than the remake. Like, the remake looks like they
And the music was also part of what made
it
that
for
game
no
so
reason.
Wonderful. Yeah.
You know, and, oh, we have to make it polygonal now. No, you don't. Sprites were great.
Like Turtles in Time, when I got a Super Nintendo, Turtles in Time was one of the first games I got.
Because hell yeah.
I had such fantastic memories of when I was younger. I think I even like, because as I've alluded to before, my brother is about like 8 years older than me. I think I used to like play Turtles in Time and Super Mario Kart with his friends back when I was like 5 years old.
Nice.
So they would have been like 12. And like, I just remember like one of his friends was like God at Super Mario Kart and would just beat the crap out of me relentlessly.
You know what a great underrated Ninja Turtle game is Tournament Fighters.
I never played Tournament Fighters.
Really good. And the Super Nintendo version is the best one.
But we got really off topic, but
no,
that was
never
fun.
Happens. Whatever.
Oh,
the Wii Tower is freaking awesome.
Actually.
I like this Wii Tower, and you should get one if you don't already have it. And that's all I've got to say. And I have an Xbox, so whenever I get a silver membership, I'll tell everybody my screen name on the forums.
Yes,
yeah, it'll probably be Silly Sore. Just
our
like
next
PSA.
Our next community night will likely be on Xbox Live because it actually works, and we can have more than four people in a party.
Yeah, yeah. We should talk about that at some point.
Yeah. I guess before we go into some shitty DSiWare game that Andy's reviewing, Zach and I suck, and we have not mentioned the GoldenEye Wi-Fi night that took place like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's been two episodes, and we keep on forgetting to mention it. It's always brought up in
it was
the
really
pre-show
fun,
planning.
It was
yeah, it was a total blast.
Despite the fact that it didn't fucking work, it
well,
was
no,
really
Zach,
fun.
It's not everyone else's fault that you just suck at the game.
No, I'm saying connecting. Like getting everyone
in
a room.
the problem with GoldenEye Online is that it's a player online, but you can only have four people in a party.
Right.
So we got to the point. Yeah, including yourself. So we would have four people in a party. They would start a game, and then we would be in a Skype. We were in IRC,
and
we'd just be like, "Join the game! Join the game right now!" Because you can join people when they're in progress. But what happens is that once you start a game, then other people populate your game. So it was kind of like, I think near the end we finally got something where it was eight people that all from the site,
right?
From the forums or whatnot.
It was towards the bitter end, though.
But it was a ton of fun. Really, GoldenEye Online is a blast, and we need to play more of that. Like, I really would like to have another night where we play that game, because I had a ton of fun.
I fucking blow. I am the worst.
Yeah, you were pretty shitty.
Holy shit.
I mean, not saying I'm that much better, but I mean, there were definitely times where you snuck up behind me and I was totally unaware. But there were a lot of times where I'd just be following you and I wouldn't even try to kill you. I would just follow you.
There were a lot of times where. Actually, this happened with a lot of people who I killed. They killed me at the same time.
Yeah.
That got kind
of
old.
That's apparently because of some kind of, like, the natural lag online or something. Someone was explaining to it in the forums at some point.
Well,
I also, I enjoyed the time when it's like the sewers level or, like, the underground.
Yeah, the sewers.
And, like, two or three times, Johnny would be, Johnny Metz came and played. And he would be climbing up ladders. I would shoot him and kill him.
Right.
But the funny thing is that, like, I guess the way it works is that, like, I would shoot and kill him, and then his character would finish walking up the ladder and just fall down.
Oh, nice.
Which is really funny. But and the golden gun mode is totally awesome in that, because, like, the golden gun kind of serves, like, everyone. It shows up on everyone's map, so
it's
everyone's going to this point.
Everyone goes to kill everyone else.
And it's a lot of fun. It's just, I mean, I didn't really play around with, like, the heroes mode or anything. I would like to.
It's not that great.
I would like to play around more with the multiplayer, though, and just play it, because it was a ton of fun. I played a little bit of random online multiplayer, like, probably a week after we did it. But it wasn't the same when it wasn't with, like, people that I tangentially knew.
Well, part of the problem with any online game like that with a dedicated community is that if you don't keep up on it, you know, you pop
you get
onto
really
an
bad.
Online match and everyone's at level 30.
Yeah.
And you're at level 10.
I actually had that where every game that I joined, like, I'm, like, level 8 at this point. It would be with people that were higher than my level. So I would always get, like, the thing where it's like, kill three people that are higher level than you. Because if I killed anyone in the match, it would be higher level than me.
But no, it was fun. And we should do it. Maybe, you know, I'd like to do it with GoldenEye again, but it was such a clusterfuck getting everyone online.
Yeah. Kind of playing GoldenEye, I hope that Conduit 2 learns from the, I guess the online misplacement of GoldenEye.
More
I mean,
steps.
GoldenEye Online works pretty damn well. It just still has
it does.
The fact that you can have a party of only four people. And if Conduit 2 can kind of improve and iterate on that, I mean, obviously it'll be different because it's a different developer, different company. But, I mean, Conduit 2 would be very attractive to me.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the fact that there is a big delay to it, at least delaying it, between Conduit 2 and GoldenEye, it really increases the likelihood that I will buy that game.
Heck, maybe that's why it was delayed, because they saw GoldenEye and saw, oh, we can do better than this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think the Conduit 2 delay, from my eyes, really hurts them, because it kind of, you know, hopefully by the time it comes out, people will be like, GoldenEye, that was a cool game that came out a while ago. Now this is the cool first-person shooter.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll do it again sometime, maybe with a different game, but we'll do it again.
Yeah.
May I propose Perfect Dark on the 360?
That would be a ton of fun.
Nintendo related. But you know,
I mean, I know probably some of our you know 14 people that listen to the show will be upset when we're talking about going to play. We were right for Nintendo Report and want to do an Xbox Live community night, but it's like really,
well, look, here's
guys,
the thing,
don't you want
works.
Something that works?
Yeah,
it's about friendship, not
it is about friendship,
not what system we're playing on.
Yeah.
Is that a game I should get pretty quick too?
I don't know.
Did you like Perfect Dark?
I really liked the original Perfect Dark. Yeah.
Then yeah,
dude, Perfect Dark XBLA.
I just couldn't stand the rampant slowdown.
Then yep.
Then get the one on Xbox Live Arcade.
Fixes it.
Will
Dark without slowdown.
Yeah. I never played Perfect Dark.
It's really good. No, it's really good.
It's okay. I didn't play Perfect Dark until about like 4 or 5 years after it came out.
Nathan, it's like a modern first-person shooter, but back on the N64.
But it came out 10 years ago.
Do you think if I bought the XBLA version, I would be able to have a good amount of fun with it?
Yeah,
you'd
certainly
have more fun than with the N64
version. Is Perfect Dark on N64, but without slowdown?
And therefore, cleaned up graphics.
Yeah.
Well, up-res graphics, really.
An actual frame rate. You're not watching a flipbook, you're playing a game.
Well, that is, both of those have frame rates.
Just a fair warning, though, you do have to put the N64 expansion pack inside your Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. Okay. Like, you need to kind of shove it in that memory card.
I have two of them, so I'm good.
You're good.
I don't know
you're
how
fine.
I got the second one. God knows, but...
Yeah, no, I feel like those things just kind of grew off trees. Like, I know I got my original one, because I think my friend, like, I forget. I know one was included with Donkey Kong 64, and I think there was another game that it was included with.
It wasn't
two. And he got both of those games, and then he just gave me one of them. And then, like, at some point, like, when my brother went to college, he bought an N64, and he didn't have an expansion pack. And then, like, miraculously, at some point, I had another one. And then, like...
See, what happened is that they ate after midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was required from Majora, but
I've
it was not...
I've got a ton of N64 crap just lying around. I have a Pokemon... I have the Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
For Pokemon Stadium, but I don't have the games.
But...
So there you go.
I don't really want to talk about Remote Racers. I don't have anything to say about it other than it's awful.
Awesome. Well,
it's a DSi
game
that came out this week.
Review.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Oh, you know what? I'm reviewing Naruto versus Sasuke on the DS.
Is that a fighting game?
I don't want to say anything about it other than that it's horrible.
Oh.
Okay.
That's cool. A shame, because that first fighting game on
it's,
the DS
okay,
was really
here's
good.
The deal, Zach. Actually, it's not that horrible. I was just being silly, but it's not a fighting
actually,
game.
Actually, it's pretty good.
It's not a fighting game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it like those stupid RPG
nope.
bird's eye view? Okay.
It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Okay.
With Naruto.
I think new staffer Josh Max... is reviewing another Naruto game that I think is a fighting game.
Huh.
See, the fighting game was good.
Yeah, the one I'm playing is, like, you were just blitzing through levels. I don't think there's any incentive for killing anything, so you just hop over everyone, and you run to the end of the level. And then there are really, really hard, like, sort of, there are some hints that are more like a fighting game, but it's like they've taken a beat-em-up control system, like River City Rampage or something like that. Not exactly. And then just thrown it.
River City Ransom.
What did I say?
River City Rampage.
Excuse me.
Making up games.
Yeah, but they just take a beat-em-up control. Like, pretty much there's only... You can throw. There's a button to throw. There's a button to punch. A button to jump. And then you can click all your special moves on the bottom.
So it's like Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero.
Okay, and
that's a weird game.
Pretty much your special attacks are if your opponent doesn't have its magical guard ability ready, which some enemies always seem to do, then it just automatically hits them after you tap the thing and it plays a flashy little animation. One thing I'll say is the animation in the game is pretty nice for the crappy sprites they put in.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's gross. It zooms all the way in on them, so, like, you see those pixels. It's pretty nasty.
Pixels.
Especially when they made those kind of nice-looking 3D fighters, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of had that cel-shaded look of the console games. I don't know what they were thinking.
Right.
I think this is just a cash-in.
Cheap cash-in is what they're thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's that.
Yeah. Hopefully by next episode, Zach and I should be playing Pokemon.
Fuck! Really?
As of today, which is Tuesday, I have no official confirmation as to when they're going to come in. But from talking to the Nintendo rep at the end of last week, they should be coming out this week.
Are they sending it to us directly or through Pale?
I think I'm going to be receiving it, and then I can overnight it to you. But that's for talk that we can talk about post show. But Zach and I should, fingers crossed, be talking about Pokemon Black and White next week.
I have
week.
To warn my wife. She's not going to see me for a while.
Oh my god! But
it's going to be one of those situations, Neil, like I was giving you trouble for a few weeks ago, where Lauren's wearing something all sexy and you're playing like Kid Dracula. It's going to be the same with me and Pokemon.
It's funny. That's more like
Lauren. You want to do something, honey?
Honey, I know you're excited about all that training I got with Metroid Prime Hunters, but it's going to have to wait.
That was like Lauren with the Blob 2 this weekend, where like she would play the Blob 2 and I'd be like, you want to cuddle? You want to do something? You want to watch a movie?
Oh, you baby.
No, she just has to collect every goddamn thing in the Blob 2.
Get over yourself.
You two
are mental. I actually just played Dragon Quest 4. It kind of worked out.
What did you play?
I played Dragon Quest 4 while she played the Blob 2.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
played I Am a Lonely Man in my own home.
We sat next to each other occasionally. We talked.
Do you know what I heard helps? Nice. Figurines.
Yeah. If you
yeah,
have
no,
12,
it does. Like, seriously.
All right. I think this is,
chest,
a, this is a newscast.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Rate us. Review us on iTunes.
Unless you're that one guy.
Yeah, yeah. What was that?
He was complaining about.
He was angry.
I think he was complaining about your audio levels because
my audio levels are always perfect.
Consistently, you're the loudest.
Yeah, rate and review us on iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes. That would be cool. We have a Twitter that isn't really updated.
Yeah.
What is that? At NWRNewscast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm tired. We also have an email, newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
We've been getting emails. We got emails this last week.
Good thing we ignore them.
I know.
We'll
have
a listener mail episode,
guys. We don't have to check.
Yeah, that's it. That's a newscast.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
How did that last more than an hour?
Bye.
Good night.
Hey guys, have you played Ninja Turtles before?
Stopping.
Good night, everybody.